Well, Hong Kong drew worldwide attention last month when up to 2 million people took to the streets to protest against a proposed extradition bill to allow people to be drawn back to face courts in mainland China. The ABC's new Southeast Asia correspondent Catherine Diss was sent to Hong Kong ahead of a posting to Bangkok to cover the first defining protest, which spurred the movement for weeks to come. Catherine Diss filed this report on what she called her baptism of fire.
It's 1 a.m. on the streets of Hong Kong. By this stage, we've been going for around 20 hours. But I'm not tired, nor is my cameraman Steve Wung. He's filming the front line. Protesters pushing up against a united front of police, wielding batons and pepper spray. It's total chaos. Bottles are being hurled and metal barriers used as weapons. At this stage, I'm stuck standing well away from the action with excess camera gear and getting increasingly frustrated. I finally find our fixer, Amy Eep. Before I can get a word in, she runs off headfirst into the crowd, yelling she needs to get a helmet and goggles to Steve. So I decide to use my time filing some radio news instead. Crouching down on the side of the road, I use a metal barrier for protection as protesters flood past me, keen to get amongst it. Finally, Amy's back, and I'm relieved from my post. I run towards Steve, keen to start finding some content for breakfast television. We're 2 hours behind the east coast of Australia, so our window is rapidly closing. I try to compose myself, but it's difficult among a shouting crowd of tens of thousands. Steve and I do a few takes, I'm pushed around a bit, and we decide we've got enough. Steve heads off with our driver to try and send the vision away from the crowds, where he hopes to get a signal. At the heart of the protest, police are blocking mobile phone reception, an attempt to quell the spread of information on social media. Amy and I stay to get some more content for morning radio stories and find ourselves kilometres from where we started. The police had regained control of the Legislative Council and they were slowly pushing back against protesters. All of the roads stemming from the council were now swarming with officers, blocking any passage through. We finally flagged down a taxi, but we could have just walked. We had migrated most of the way back to our hotel. Now it's 5 a.m. I've been awake for 24 hours, but I've finally finished filing for now and we made all of our deadlines. I try to sleep, but I can't. The adrenaline keeps me awake, and all I can think about is my television script for what's now tonight's news. Well, that was a baptism of fire. A couple of days ago, I was sitting in the comfort of ABC's Sydney office. I was there for 2 weeks of training to supposedly learn how to become a foreign correspondent ahead of my year-long posting to Bangkok. When I farewelled my Perth colleagues, they laughed and said, "Something will happen in the first couple of weeks, just you wait." Little did I know it would happen during my training. No one expected the protests to be as large as they were or turn violent. But this was just the beginning of weeks of protests for Hong Kongers, and what a defining moment of history to be a part of. It was the sort of throw-you-in-the-deep-end kind of training an office in Sydney just can't give you, and certainly helped me prepare for the challenges of reporting from a foreign country. But in retrospect, while I didn't think it at the time, covering the story was a hell of a lot easier than what I'm doing now. In Hong Kong, there was a story in front of me. I didn't have to find it. And I had a cameraman helping to shoot the pictures. Here in Bangkok, I'm a video journalist, which means I shoot most of my own television stories while also being the reporter and taking digital photos for online. Keen to give this new workflow a go, I hit the road in my first couple of weeks to film my first story with producer Jum and driver Kun Tu. I'll be honest, I was a bit nervous. I haven't shot in years or used this camera gear here on an actual shoot. I check all the gear 3 times before we leave. After fighting Bangkok's horrendous traffic for 2 hours, we arrive in a region of lush green crops lining the main highway as far as the eye can see. This region depends on farming for income. It's hot, there are swarms of mosquitoes, and none of the people we've come to interview speak English. This certainly isn't a common challenge we face in Australia. Luckily, we have forgiving interviewees, Thai villagers just eager to tell their story about a wave of waste flooding their villages. Jum madly translates for me after each response during the interview, but I'm barely listening. I'm focused on audio levels and readjusting camera settings as the light constantly changes. I quickly snap some digital photos of her before filming her going about her daily life. I ask her to do several takes to make sure I've exposed it correctly and got all the right angles, but she doesn't mind. That was a situation I could control. Next time might not be as easy, but hopefully, like most things, it will get easier with time.
The multitasking world of the modern foreign correspondent, Catherine Diss, with that report.